Lord, and we invite you to one of the most interesting celebrations of a life of our dear sister, Marie Miller. One thing about Marie, she always loved to sing good songs of the church, and we're going to start off, before anything else, by singing How Great Thou Art. And if you want to stand, because Marie would always stand when she sang, you're welcome to stand or just sit. That's fine, really. But let's sing this beautiful song here, How Great Thou Art, because we're celebrating the greatness of our God. And so we thank the Lord for that, too. Dying of some wonder, consider all the worlds I am at. I see the stars, I hear the roar. I can just see Marie standing before her Maker, singing that from the bottom of her heart. How great He is. God bless you. You may be seated. David, would you please read the obituary?
Reading of the obituary, Marie Miller, Pembroke, Pennsylvania, April 17, 1917, to August 5th, 2017. Marie Miller, 100, formerly of Pembroke, went to be with the Lord, surrounded by her loving family, Saturday, August the 5th, at Homeland Center in Harrisburg. She was born April 17, 1917, in Dauphin County, the daughter of the late Elmer and Esther Weitzel Davis. Marie attended Pembroke School, Pembroke, Pennsylvania. She was a member of Grace Chapel, Elizabethtown, PA. She is survived by her daughter Marion Leupold, brothers Paul and his wife Millie Davis, Arthur and Sally Davis, and sister Lois Hippensteel. She was preceded in death by her husband Marion Bill Miller, siblings Naomi McCurdy, Viola Black, and George Davis. She is also survived by 9 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, and 13 great-great-grandchildren. The viewing will be held at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., service from 11 a.m. till 12 noon at Grace Chapel, Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. Burial service will be at 2 o'clock p.m. in Woodland Memorial Gardens, Lower Paxton Township. In lieu of flowers, contributions may be made to her church, Grace Chapel, 2535 Colebrook Road, Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so honored to be able to be here in a time like this, when you have seen fit to allow Marie to live these 100 years. She's been a blessing to all of us in so many very unusual and interesting ways, Lord. We ask that you will grace us with your presence and your love and your comfort, Lord, here as we celebrate her life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
I've only known Marie for probably the last 3 years since coming to Trinity United Methodist Church as the pastor. We would meet together with she and Marion at her home and other folks from the church for our prayer study and a time of prayer. Marie would also come with Marion to church on those Sundays when she was able. So I did get to know Marie to some degree, probably not like the rest of you, but at least to some degree. And the one key characteristic that I'm sure we can all agree on, and I'm equally sure you will hear very much about, is her faith in God and her love for Jesus. Marie longed for the day when she would get to go to heaven and see Jesus for herself. So today truly is a day of celebration for her and for us who knew her. She was a woman of great faith, devout and steadfast in her beliefs. Her faith was the standout quality of her whole existence. And to me, that is quite a noble way to live your life. When I think about Marie, there was one scripture that came to my mind immediately, and at least it speaks volumes to me, and hopefully it will to you too. The scripture comes from the New Testament and the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, the first 6 verses. Listen as I share that text with you. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The Apostle Paul was writing to encourage his spiritual son, Timothy, in the faith. Paul, of course, was involved in establishing the early church, helping to give it form and function. And Timothy is a young man in training, someone to whom Paul sees incredible potential. And he pours wisdom and encouragement into his life to help build him up for his leadership roles within the church. Well, in this letter, Paul anticipates a joyful reunion with Timothy, and he recognized that Timothy indeed had a sincere faith. And then Paul reminds him of his heritage, that both his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice also had this same kind of steadfast faith. And Paul recognized that the faith that lived in his grandmother and mother was evident in Timothy's life as well. That strong faith would help lay the foundation for Timothy's life and his ministry in days ahead. It was that foundation that the Apostle Paul would begin to build upon by teaching him the words of Jesus and the truth of the gospel message. What an incredible gift to give your grandchildren and your children, to leave behind a legacy of faith, is perhaps one of the greatest gifts a person could ever give.
Amen.
As her children and grandchildren, loved ones and friends, Marie left behind for each one of us a legacy of faith.
Yeah.
By the way she lived her life, the ways in which her faith was the cornerstone for everything that she did and said, her love for the Word of God, her life of prayer, and how she related to other people by the ways she showed her love. All of that attests to her sincere faith and love for God.
Amen.
Now, I am absolutely positive that she helped pour wisdom and faith and encouragement in many of your lives as well.
Yeah.
And I can say that because I saw firsthand how much love and devotion was shown to her in recent years, and especially in recent days prior to her homegoing. I truly want to commend the family for your constant love and care for Marie. You made sure that she was well cared for, that she was free from all discomfort and was able to rest peacefully. You saw to her every need. You were with her constantly, and even when she made the transition from this life into a life eternal, you were present with her. Marie left this life surrounded by love, only to enter the next life engulfed in pure love.
Amen.
I told Marion the other day on the phone that she and her family were such an inspiration to me because I came to this area back home to help care for my own parents. And they were such an inspiration to me because of the love and the care they showed Marie all throughout this process. And any time I would talk to Marion, she was always full of laughter and joy. And I know, I'm positive, there were days when she and others of the family were tired and exhausted. Marion, David, and Mary, and I'm sure others from the family, continued, and they do continue, that legacy of faith in God by the ways in which they showed such love and care for Marie. The heritage of faith that Marie helped to establish in you has been fanned through the years and was certainly evidenced in each one of you. And I feel so blessed to have been a part and a witness of your love for myself. I know that Marie was grateful for your loving support. She was able to experience herself, your love for her. And I know she appreciated everything you did for her. One day, before we know it, there will be a great reunion in heaven where we will see Marie and all the other saints who have gone on before. Amen. But for now, be encouraged in your own faith. Live each day in the hope of seeing Jesus and living and reigning with him. And may the memories of Marie and the heritage of her life of faith in God and the legacy of her love and joy, may they be an inspiration to you as you live out your days here on this earth in preparation for the life to come.
Yes. Okay. Another beautiful song that the family would like us to sing. In one thing, it's a beautiful, precious Lord, take my hand. And let's look at that picture. That's what God is doing for Marie here this morning, leading her through the promised land. Okay, let's sing it. Amen.
Precious Lord.
say amen? Amen. At this time, we'd like to give reflections from people. We're going to do it because of time. We have to be out at the gravesite at a certain time. We're going to have the family share up here. And then we're eating our meal. If others want to share, we're going to give you some opportunity. So, Brother David, do you want to start off here? You know, Brother David, as we have been journeying here, especially the last couple of days with your grandma, and one thing that you said was about 12, as we were lingering and wondering when that's going to be happening, you came up with that number 12. And why did you? Why wanted you just share that with you? This was, you know, every funeral is, and every person is unique in their way. But I tell you what, Marie, she outwitted us all in her perseverance and hanging on. Why did we come up with that number 12? Before.
Revelations 21, when Pastor Mel had read that, it talks about the 12 gates in the New Jerusalem. And that's what we were reflecting on, the number 12. And it was 12 days that Nana...
And I think it was probably 6 or 7 or 8 days into our journey as we were there that I came in and you were sitting in the entranceway and we were just talking. And then I went on, what does that word 12 mean? And so we discovered that word 12 means, which is considered a perfect number. And it also symbolizes God's power and authority, as well as serving as a governmental foundation. And so we just felt that it was going to be 12 days. Little did we know that on the 12th day, Marie just slipped away into heaven. And I want to thank the family for the tremendous opportunity we had to really just apply ourselves and just say, Lord, we don't know when, but whenever you require her to come home, she's going to come home.
In His timing. Yeah. And one of the days, we were reading from the upper room. Ron was with us and the family, and we were reading from the upper room, which... Nana always was giving that as a gift to many friends and neighbors and family members. And the one day into the 12 days, we were reading it, and it was about God's timing. And it really was just Nana was being patient for His timing. And, you know, during that time, too, we were thinking of different... We were listening to Uncle George quite a bit.
Yeah.
He was... Thank the Lord for that beautiful CD. It was a big help with being patient, waiting for His timing. And, you know, I really thank Him for making that music and Anna Sarah sharing those albums and CDs with... There's a big demand for that again. There's a lot of people that are interested in that CD. We're going to have to do a reprint. So we're going to satisfy some needs at Homeland Center, AIDS that got to know Nana and loved her, and they've asked for some of that music. So we're going to record some more of that. And I heard this song, Rock of Ages, one day as we were playing different things on our phones. And that was Nana. She was, you know, I could easily say that song was written for Nana. She was our rock of faith, rock for the ages, with our family, with her faith, and that foundation that she built. And so is Mom, and so is Mary during that time, being at her side. But we thank Nana for the gift that kept giving with the upper room and the way that reached out to everybody. And it reminds me of how when Mom and Nana first started living together after, you know, Dad passed away, they would have daily devotions every morning. and they would read the upper room in the scripture, and they'd have communion together. And just, it was nice to be able to reflect on that in the morning with Nana, too. Some days she had her eyes open, some days she was smiling, and some days she was just being peaceful. So we thank the Lord for that opportunity. The other thing that she left us with a legacy of is she, for years, wanted to take flowers to the family grave in Sunbury. And I always thought that was very, she called it decoration day. But she always wanted to make sure that flowers got to her family's grave in Sunbury. And she started not being able to drive, and she'd asked others to help drive. I know Linda took her sometimes too, and Mom, and then Mary and I started taking over some of that too. But even when she couldn't go, she was comforted last year when we'd go and take a picture and show her that the grave was cleaned off, the flowers were there. And she, that was a promise. That was a rock of faith for her family that she made to her mother, that she wanted to continue that. So that's where we will gladly do that again, because our daughter Emily lives in Bloomsburg, so we can stop on the way up and put flowers on the grave and think of Nana. So thank you. Others from the family may want to say something? Thank you.
What I want to say about Nana, I probably wasn't even 9 or 10 years old. And I would come and spend the summer with my dad and her. I was never a stepson. I was a son. And it was love all these years. It was never stepmom, it was mom. And she left a big impression on the Miller side of the family. She was that type of a wonderful person. And she left us know, and we could see, Jesus' love through her. And that's the way us Christians are supposed to be.
Amen.
And she was the most wonderful example. And I praise God for her. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. I, Brother Dave, I don't want to miss anybody, because I feel that there may be some grandchildren. Or this is family. Marie wanted us to enjoy family. Is that right? And if there is someone else that would like to say something, please. Please, you need something to stand on. I think this is so important. I just wanted to see if there'd be a few others that might.
In 1979, I met that beautiful woman. I ended up marrying her. When I met her, once every month for a week, she needed to go through chemotherapy. She had leukemia. And while we were dating, Nan called me and said, "Ron, there's a healing service down at Grace Chapel this weekend. I just thought I'd let you know." I discussed it with Mel during that week, and she said, I'll think about it. I went up to visit her that weekend, and I said, "That healing service is tonight." I said, "What do you think?" And she said, she agreed. "Let's go." I didn't tell Nana. Nobody knew we were coming that evening. We came late. We sat somewhere I don't know where we sat. Maybe, I'm picturing over here. We sat there and didn't really announce to anybody we were here. Didn't go up to tell Nan that we were here or anything else. We sat there. And I can't even tell you to this day who the fellow was who was having the service. But throughout that service, every now and then they'd pause and they'd say, we feel somebody's holding back, or we feel somebody's being touched out there. You know, and I look at now, she never was much of a talker, but I just look at her to see if she was, and it went on and on and on, and the service was about ready to close. And the guy said one last time, he says, I'm still feeling somebody's out there being touched. And Mel got up and started walking up. And I thought, well, I guess I don't know if I should go along with this or what, you know, be by her side or what. But by the time I got up to along her side, she was slain in the spirit in the front of this church. And then we departed, and in my heart, I felt God had healed her. You know, when the doctor visits came and we discussed this, and they thought, well, that's good, well and good, but we suggest you keep on with your chemotherapy. You know, and this all came to test our faith, and it came that Mel got pregnant, and we had to decide whether the chemotherapy kept going or not. And I can remember being on the couch beside my soulmate and saying, there's no way God wants, and the doctors were suggesting abortion, and I said, there's no way God wants this child aborted. And as I see, as I stand here today, and I look at my life, look at my wife, look at my family, look at my mom, look at my children, and I can see it starting in my grandchildren, the seeds of faith being sown, where they know God is guiding them, directing them, and sustaining them. And I see that smile. What a way to go to heaven. What a way to go to heaven, knowing that you can look behind you and say, I left them in good shape. They're going to be fine. Well, thank you, Nana. Thank you for giving us the richest gift on life. The gift to give our children. That Heavenly Father, He'll sustain you all your days. Don't forget it. Amen. Wow. I love you. Wow. Give my hand. My. Beautiful. We never know. We never know. She just said, why don't you come? And thank the Lord for that. Let us sing this other song that is so powerful. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And that's really around what you're saying, you know, because we know Jesus lives. And what a precious thing. Let's sing it. If you want to stand, let's stand. If you can, if you feel like it. God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove
Reflect over the years. Sister Marie was out on Derry Street with us before we moved out here 40 years ago, and she was all that I can remember. Marie had a passion for more of God and helped everybody else come along. I just see joy here. Her mother, Faith Sangree, and Marie and Grace McKean, and we're all part of a prayer group that I can honestly say I think those women, mainly women, but I see some men that were a part of that prayer group there at Grace McKean's and over at Marie's for many years. And Joy, your mother was sustaining that and prayer group too. It's just an exciting opportunity. We have a little detailed overview of her life here. And just amazing. She was always involved in the things of God and just challenging us. And Marie was always Marie. She would not be afraid to tell you like it is, too. That's one thing. At times she would, Pastor, I got to say something, you know. You know, and we would just have to let her speak, you know, too. And I told Mary one time, a couple of times, oh, Mom, just calm down a little bit. You know, but that was Marie. And all of us have been blessed by her life. And we were just so grateful to the Lord. Rosemary, I just want you to say one thing about Marie, if you could hear, if you want to. Marie was a very integral part of our family also, which was such a real blessing. We had her babysit for us. She came over and babysit for us, and we were just so blessed when we to be able to know Marie.
Well, I was telling
go ahead, Paul.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, so she has always been a blessing. We take our women to Ridgecrest, North Carolina for a women's conference, and she was right there in the middle of all that, and always had a great time with her. She was a real blessing. But one particular time, the three other kids were already married and gone, but we would take trips down to Florida, and so I didn't want to leave our teenage son with our middle school daughter to take care of her, because he'd just got a car, and I wasn't sure if he'd come home on time. So I said, Marie, would you babysit for us just for a week, you know, and just do the meals. Don't worry about cleaning and all that stuff. Just, you know, so somebody would be there when they get home from school. They went to school in Lancaster. So anyway, I told our son Marcus and our youngest daughter Melissa, and of course Melissa was ecstatic because she loves Marie, and Marcus was in that teenage thing. I don't need a babysitter. Why do I need to have such a baby? I can take care of my sister. And I said, I just want you to be here. I want you to come home, and I want you just so she's here. She'll have food for you made up, and we'd already prepared all that stuff. But anyway, I don't think I need a babysitter. I'm old enough to take care of myself. And so anyway, he went on to school one day, and he didn't get back on time, didn't tell her where he was going. And so anyway, and I would check up on him. You know, all good mothers do that. So I said, where were you at? Why didn't you come home on time? Marie was concerned about you. And so he said, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm sorry. And I said, well, you need to apologize to Marie. So he apologized to her. Next day he came in with a long-stem yellow rose. And she told me after that, you know, your son brought this beautiful yellow rose. And she, you know how she would tear up and giggle at the same time. And she said, I've never had a man give me a rose, one long stem rose, a yellow rose. And she never let us forget that, never let Marcus forget that. And I told him, he's in Canada right now, and I said, Marcus, your number one prayer warrior is in heaven rejoicing. So don't slip up. Don't mess up. She's looking out for you still, you know. So but she was just a real blessing to our family and to our church family and all the young people, all the teenagers. She was not afraid of kids, young people. She just loved everybody, and she prayed for everybody. And that was one of the strongest points that I think as a church, we not a whole lot of churches have prayer chains for a number of years that we've done. We've had a prayer chain at this church. And she headed that off, and anybody could call her anytime, day or night, and she would pray. And sometimes she would forget, you know, and she'd repeat it again. So But those prayers, a lot of those prayers were answered, and so we will miss that, but we pray and believe that there's going to be somebody else to take that position and just keep on the prayer chain and keep that going. But we love your mom and your grandmother. She's a real joy, a real jewel, and we know that we'll see her again.
Just to climax, really, this time here together, another dear, dear brother in our church, Scott Lucas, I just want to read this. Pastor Mel, here is my memories of Marie. I tapped her on the shoulder after a Sunday service and asked if she would be my adopted grandmother. This was the Holy Spirit's doing. I and our family began to have a great time together. God brought her into my life as an intercessor, encourager during a very tough time in my life. I was able to share my whole heart with her because she loved me unconditionally. She was a great blessing to Terry and I during our engagement, wedding, and having children. And my family had a great time blessing her back by surprising her with a new carpet after her return home from a trip. She loved our dogs, and because our favorite dog sitter, she became our favorite dog sitter for Sam and Woody. And we are so glad we could enjoy time with her several days before she passed on. Thanks to Marie's family for sharing her with us. We love you all. And that it really, I think, climax loves not only us, loves our animals too. I mean, that is amazing. And I was just thinking about a scripture that we needed to share with you here today. Genesis 25, verse 7 and 8. And these are the days and years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. I think this is very interesting to see here how it was stated that Abraham, he gave up the ghost and died an old man, an old age. Very interesting. The Bible says they're full of years. And so what does that full of years really entail? It means in the Hebrew, full. In every nth degree of the word, full. It means satisfied. And when he had lived as long as he desired, being of some sort weary of life and desirous to go on to be with his Maker, he was full of all good, or satisfied with his life. I like that. And that was Marie, with favor and with the blessing of the Lord upon him and upon his children. And then it says he was gathered to his people. Very interesting. And I looked at that word and what it means to his godly family. The former patriarchs, the congregation of the just men made perfect. And we discover this beautiful scripture over here in Hebrews where it talks about that very, very thing. That for ye are come unto the mount that might be touched, and the burned with fire, not unto darkness and blackness and tempest, but you are come to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge over all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of speaking of better things. And this is where Marie is at. She's perfect. She's with Jesus. She's not hurting anymore. She's totally satisfied. Totally blessed. We don't want her to come back, but we want to make sure that we can go see her. How many can say amen to that? Very, very important. And so Paul picked this up when he said, for we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle, where we saw, we have a building of God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavenlies. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house from heaven. Interesting, beautiful picture here. For if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up in light. She's really living. She's in the land of the living. We're living in the land of the dying. And when we look at it from that perspective, heaven is a wonderful place. Let me encourage you on that. Now, he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in our body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That's one thing Marie taught us. To not just look at the natural things in life, but look at the heavenly things. You know, hang in there. When you're going through those challenging times, call upon God. He's there to help you. He's there to undergird you. And so, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. What a picture to know that Marie is present with the Lord. For it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And after that, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As the earthly, such as they also are earthly. And as the heavenly, such also are they that are heavenly. And as we bore the image of the earthly, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. It seems a paradox here, but let me encourage you. Marie taught us how to live the heavenly life. Our lives are enriched because of what Marie taught us by how she lived. She loved God dearly, and she loved you and I. And that's why we can go on and do what God has called us to do and to be. Oh, yes. William Penn put it this way. The truest end in life is to know the life that never ends. He who makes this his care will find it his crown at last. He that lives to live forever never fears dying. For through death, the dark passage, he leads to immortality, and that recompense is enough for the suffering we have to go through. Death, then, being the way and condition of life, we cannot love to live if we cannot bear to die. William Penn had a powerful vision of godliness, and so we today want to encourage all of us to live our life to the fullest in Jesus Christ, as Marie taught us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I am asking you to help all of us today to make that decisive dedication of our lives to follow the God of Marie Miller. Help us to do our part to make sure that each day, we live it for you and not for ourselves. We ask that you will be the Lord and the Savior of our lives. And together, we make a new commitment because of Marie's life to follow you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. Now, Marie was someone who always caught us off guard. So since she wanted balloons at her funeral, we have balloons here. And I've been working and trying to work with the undertaker and funeral director, I should say, and the family here. How are we going to orchestrate this? Marie, we're going to try to do it for you. We're going to try to celebrate it for you. And so we come up with this. At this time, the funeral directors will remove our loved one out to the north end. And then, as they do that, the funeral director can do that at this time. And then we want to have the grandchildren come and get some balloons, and we're going to let these balloons go. And so we just will wait just for a moment as they remove our dear loved one out to the north end. Lord, we thank you for Marie's life here today. And as we get ready to sing When the Saints Go Marching In, at this time, I want to read this that the family wants me to read. And then the grandchildren and those that are going to be giving the balloons out, would you get ready? Who are the ones there? We'll see how this goes. And I want you to remind you, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this at a funeral. And so we'll see how this goes. And then as I read this, I want the grandchildren, all the grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to come and get a balloon. And then I want you to go out here, and we're going to start singing this song. And at a point of time, we're going to, anybody who wants to join them to see the balloons go, can go out there. And then we'll come back, and then we'll be dismissed to go down to eat as we get ready for the supper then too, the meal together. So before you give it, this is what I want to read to you. Don't grieve for me, for now I am free. I am following the path God laid for me. I took His hand when I heard His call. I turned my back and left it all. I could not stay another day to laugh, to love, to work, to play. Tasks left undone must stay that way. I found that peace at the close of the day. In my parting, if my parting is left void, then fill it with remembered joy, a friendship shared, a kiss. Ah, yes, there's things too we'll miss. Be not burdened with times of sorrow. I wish you the sunshine of tomorrow. My life in full, I savored much. Good friends and good times, I loved one such. Perhaps my time seemed all too brief. Don't lengthen it with undue grief. Lift up your heart and share with me. God wanted me now. He set me free. Okay, if you all just stand over there. And we wanna sing this song. When the saints go marching in, let me say something. As we were there in that last couple of days, we would sing some fast songs, and Marie literally would, she, as though she was out of it, then she would start, her body would start trying to dance, you know. And she loved to dance here, really. And so we wanna sing this, and then we'll go out and let the balloons go. Okay. Let's stand together if we could. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when they grant go marching in. Oh Lord, I want believe they're going to say, yeah, David, you're going to say something. Let's see if we can get this mic going here. Brother Chick, Skip. Okay. I want you to say something then. And anybody wants to just be out there, and we'll just take a moment, just be out there with them. You're welcome to just join and watch the balloons go. And David wanted to say something that, we'll just wait for a minute, Dave. Just wait for a minute. Just, yeah. Marie, hallelujah. This is what you ordained for us. I love it. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Okay, just hold them together. Just hold them together there. Okay. Just one moment, Dave. There's others that are coming. Amen. And we just want to get someone get a video of this too. Get a video of this. All right. Just a few more here yet that are coming. Let's see this beautiful time. As Marie was wanting us to celebrate and have a good time and see that these balloons represent the presence of Jesus. We can see them go up into the sky and where she is too. And so, okay.
Ready?
Looks like whatever. All right. Super. Super, super, super. Why now? Beautiful day for it to happen.
Nana was saying quite a bit.
Okay. Say it real loud, Dave.
Nana was saying quite a bit in the last few weeks. Thank you, Jesus. And today we're going to let these go and say, soar, spirit, soar.
Soar, spirit, soar. Woo! Amen. Lord, celebrate Marie. Amen. All right. Isn't that beautiful? That is beautiful. Yes. Look at it. Oh, my, 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 my. That is amazing. They're soaring with Marie's spirit. Yes. Yes. Okay, the ones that are going to be the pallbearers can go in the back, and the rest of us can go downstairs to eat. And so you can go down the steps in the back there, and you can go in and go down to eat. All right. Wow. That is beautiful. You can help yourself to just go downstairs on the back stairways there, and you can go out and get a seat to eat.